Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1301. We'll be reading the first seven verses. The text verse is that seventh verse. And as we always do, let's please stand for the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 7, reading the verses responsively. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And let's join together on the text verse. Ready? By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And let's pray. Father, what a wonderful book. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for its preservation through all of these centuries. Thank you that we meet at a place today where your word is revered and honored and preached in power. Bless today the preaching of it, the hearing of it, to the edification of us all, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me remind you what I always remind you. We're just a tad late. We're just about 3 minutes late this morning. I promise you that I'll not be preaching after 12:10. In fact, I don't think I'll be preaching after 12:05. In fact, it may be not after 12. In fact, shall we stand, please, for our closing prayer? And I promise you that we will not, we'll close the service not 1 minute after 12:30. As I always do, we never leave after 12:30 except when we leave after 12:30. But we'll be gone from here with time to spare before 12:30, and I'll not be preaching that long. I want to read for you just one verse read a while ago without your turning to it, and here it is. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepare an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, now get this, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I want to speak to you for a while on the subject, heirs of righteousness. Heirs of righteousness. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to this purpose of our entire existence here. Every Sunday school class, every schoolroom class, every youth program, every activity, all the many ministers of our church point to this hour, the preaching of the Word of God. This morning I come to this very vital subject. Help me as I speak, and our people as they hear. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you please to be very still. Teenagers, if you'll just be quiet now for a while, and may those of us who are up in years be alert to listen. I want to speak to you on the subject, heirs of righteousness. We're called in the Bible, and by we're called heirs. In 1 Peter 3:7, we're called heirs together of the grace of God. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, which is my text today, we're called heirs of righteousness. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, we're called heirs of the kingdom. And that word kingdom means we're heirs of all that God has. Everything belongs to God, some did belong to me, because I'm heir of the kingdom. In Hebrews 6 and 12, we're called heirs of the promises of God. In Hebrews 1:14, we're called heirs of the Holy Spirit. In Mark 10:17, we're called heirs of eternal life. And then, of course, that amazing, wonderful passage. Listen to the boys. Hey, boys. Hey, listen, I'm preaching to you. Sit still. In that amazing chapter 8 of Romans and verse 17, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That means all that's his is mine. All that he has, someday I will have. And it is called, all of this is called, an inheritance. For example, 1 Peter 1:4, he hath begotten us to an inheritance. And in Hebrews 9:25, the promises of an eternal inheritance. Ephesians 1:11, we have obtained an inheritance. Ephesians 1:18, the glory of his inheritance. Now what it means is this. It means that you and I, as God's children, are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we have an inheritance. There came one to Jesus one time and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the truth is, he did not know how to do it, but he had the right word, inherit eternal life. You see, what we have, ladies and gentlemen, is an inheritance. Now, the question is, what is an inheritance? Let me explain. Many years ago, Mrs. Hiles' father died, one of my favorite people. I went into Christ on his 70th birthday and baptized him that night at about midnight on his 70th birthday. C.M. Sauter, one of the best men I ever knew, an honest man, a hard-working man, the salt of the earth. He owned a retail and wholesale feed business, sold Nutrina feeds in Dallas, Texas. Now, many years ago, Mrs. Hiles inherited several thousand dollars from her dad. Not a big inheritance. I think it was $500,000, something like that, give or take a few hundred thousand. But no, she inherited just a few thousand dollars from her dad. Now, wait a minute carefully. Her dad started a feed store. For many years, he rose early in the morning, I mean before sunrise. At the time the sun was rising, he was on his way to work. For many years, he labored all day, six days a week, all but the Lord's day, he labored. Came home late in the evening. He took no vacations, probably for 30 years. Never took a vacation. Every penny she inherited, hear me now, young folks, hear me. Every penny she inherited was the cause of his work. The honest truth is, she earned not one cent of it. She did not lift a finger to get those several thousand dollars, or it would not have been an inheritance. Now, the honest, simple truth is, this is the same with the gospel. Jesus came and did all the work. He died and left us an inheritance. Now, if I must live a good life to get it, it's no inheritance. It's a salary. If I must be baptized to get it, it is no inheritance. I have earned it. If I must take the sacrament to get it, it is no inheritance. If I must join a church to get it, it is no inheritance. If I must go to confession to get it is no inheritance. Hear me carefully. If I must even pray to get it is no inheritance. All I do is, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And it's, the Bible says, and if sons, then heirs. If I'm his son, I'm his heir. I received him and became his son. And when I became his son, I became an heir. Now you listen carefully to me. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation not something you can work for, or somebody else can work for it for you. Salvation is an inheritance. Jesus Christ came, virgin born, sinless life, vicarious death, bodily resurrection, ascension to heaven, our high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father, even now interceding for me, it is done. The great transaction is done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. He led me and I followed on, charmed to confess his love divine. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain, but thank God, hallelujah, he washed it white as snow. If you go to heaven, ladies and gentlemen, all you have to do is accept the inheritance. He did all the work. You can do nothing to help him. It's all done. It is an inheritance. Now let's look at what we have inherited. Don't leave me now. Let's look at what we have inherited. It is summed up in one word. Don't miss it. Righteousness. The apostle worded it for us in Hebrews 11:7. Heirs of righteousness. Now, heaven, we're heirs of heaven, but that's because of righteousness. We're heirs of the new birth, but that's because of righteousness. We're heirs of life eternal, but that's because of righteousness. You can sum up all of our inheritance in one word, and that word is righteousness. You see, there's none righteous, no, not one, the apostle tells us. We're all gone out of the way. We're together to come unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. So what happened? Jesus went to Calvary, hear me, suffered my unrighteousness and became my sin, and now he offers me his righteousness, as the writer put it, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. Let me explain. Every year, the high priest would take the blood from off of the altar, raise an altar. He would take that blood inside on the seventh month, the tenth day of the month, every year, inside of what was called the Holy of Holies. Don't miss this now. Don't miss it. The Holy of Holies. Inside that Holy of Holies was an Ark of the Covenant, a little piece of furniture about the size of that Lord's Supper table there. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, there are three things. Aaron's rod that budded, the tablets of stone on which written the Ten Commandments, and a golden pot of manna. Every year, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, would take the blood of the innocent substitute and walk inside the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that blood upon that mercy seat and then turn and come out to all the people and shout, "It is finished!" And for one year, the sins of Israel, of the people, had been atoned for on this amazing Day of Atonement. Don't leave me now. Don't leave me. No one else could go. No one else could go. I wonder how many times the little boy said, "Mama, what's inside there?" I wonder how many times people have passed by and said, "I wish I could get one look inside there." Ladies and gentlemen, nobody could go in there but the high priest. Nobody but the high priest. Don't leave me. I'm about to shout now in a few minutes. Nobody could go in there but the high priest. And here's the little fellow. He said, "Mama, can I go in there?" "No, you can't go in there. Stay out there, son. I can't go in there. Your daddy can't go in there." I wonder how many times people say, "Boy, I wish I could just see. I hear there's the Ark of the Covenant in there. I hear there's a mercy seat of pure gold on the top of the Ark. I hear the high priest goes in there, and inside that Ark of the Covenant, there are Aaron's rod that budded, the Ten Commandments on stone, and a golden pot of manna that fell from heaven every morning in the wilderness. I've heard it's there. Boy, I'd like to see it." Sorry, you can't see it. Only one person can see it. 2,000 years ago, John the Baptist stood on the banks of Jordan and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." He was our Lamb. He took his own blood. Hear me now. Are you ready to shout? Hear me now. He took his own blood inside the veil of the temple and sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat in heaven. But he went inside that temple as our high priest, and then he turned, and all of a sudden, an unseen hand ripped that veil in two from top to bottom. And the high priest says, "Hey, come on in, everybody come on in. Everybody can come on in. All of you can come and pray now. All of you can have access to the Bible now. Come on in, come on in, come on in. I've got some wonderful news for you today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care who you are. You have the same access to God's Holy of Holies as the high priest did. And because our high priest entered into the Holy of Holies for you, and the veil was torn from top to bottom, and now rescue mission men, come on in, the water's fine. You Etchicable Slow over here, the Pathfinder, come on in, the water's fine. You folks back here who are deaf, come on in. Hey, you straight people up there who slept on Lower Rucker Drive, come on in. You have the same access to God that I have. The veil has been rent. We have become heir. Hold it a minute. Wait a minute. I can't go in there. Good night. There's no way I can go in there because I'm not righteous. Oh, listen to me. No talking, young people. No talking. Listen to me. I'm not righteous. I can't go in there. Jesus comes and says, take mine. I took your unrighteousness. I bore your unrighteousness. Now he says, you take my righteousness. Romans 10:1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For they, and this is the story of the religious world, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. You hear me, ladies and gentlemen? If I tell you, you can go inside that Holy of Holies because you get baptized, they're establishing their own righteousness. If I tell you, you can go in there because of your good works, or your good life, your good deeds, they're establishing their own righteousness. But I got news for you. The Lord Jesus Christ, 2,000 years ago, became sin for me, and my sins were charged against his record. And he stood before the judgment, the great white throne judgment of God Almighty, and God pronounced him guilty, and God turned his back on him. And Jesus hung on the cross with the forsaken, the only time in eternity, by the Heavenly Father. He bore my unrighteousness. Now he turns and says to me, you take my righteousness. You take my righteousness. Now he says, come on in. It's your inheritance. See, everything you got when you got saved, you inherited it, and you wrap it up in one word, righteousness. Okay. Come on in, the high priest says, Jesus says, and pray for yourself. You can pray as much as the priest can. That's probably more than he does. You can pray as much as the priest can. That Holy of Holies, ladies and gentlemen, is no longer just for one man. That Holy of Holies is for everybody. Why? Because of your inheritance. You inherited righteousness. Praise God. That means that you can read the Bible for yourself. That means you can come to God for yourself. Come on in, unbeliever. Come on in, unsaved person. Come on in. How do you get in? You've got to be righteous to get in, but you don't have enough righteousness to get in. Even your righteousness is like filthy rags. But glory be to God. He says, I'll give you mine. Hear me carefully. It's called the righteousness which is by faith. If right here this morning, you will say, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a price on sin. And that price is death, or spiritual death, or the second death, which culminates in the lake of fire. But I know that Jesus Christ came, virgin born, lived a sinless life, died and paid the penalty for my sins. He paid the price, and I, by faith, accept him. He imputes to you every good thing about himself, because on Calvary, he imputed to himself every bad thing about you. I'm about to have a spell. You listen to me. You listen to me. I'm not going to heaven because of my righteousness. I'm dressed in his righteousness. When Jesus Christ took the blood from Calvary as the Lamb of God and rose as the high priest and took the blood inside and sprinkled that blood on the mercy seat, and the unseen hand ripped that veil in the temple from top to bottom. Hey, come on in, rescue mission man. Come on in, truck drivers. Come on in, sailors. Come on in, deaf people. Come on in, straight people. Come on in, rescue mission people. Come on in, pathfinders. Come on in, blind folks sitting back there. Let every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. Come on in. Because we have inherited righteousness. So you don't need a priest to absolve your sins. You've inherited righteousness. You don't need the Virgin Mary intercede for you. You've inherited righteousness. you are as welcome as anybody. You don't need the Pope to intercede for you, or the priest to intercede for you, or the preacher to intercede for you, or the rabbi. You hear me carefully. That same Holy of Holies into which our high priest went, sprinkled his blood, and on the cross he shouted what the high priest shouted, "It is finished!" You don't need to get baptized to get it. You don't have to join the church to get it. You have to get your sins absolved to get it. You have to be confirmed to get it. Blessed God, it's finished. It's done. The great transaction's done. Jesus paid it all. Come, every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. For your own work salvation. For your own Sabbath keeping salvation. For your own baptismal regeneration. For your own sacramental salvation. And hallelujah for his righteousness. I inherited it. That's my inheritance. I'm an heir. An heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. An heir of righteousness. Now, because of his righteousness, I have inherited a lot. I've inherited heaven. I've inherited Jesus. I've inherited eternal life. I've inherited someday a body just like his body. I've inherited salvation. I've inherited the Holy Spirit as my comforter and my guide. I've inherited a new nature. I've inherited the blessed hope of the second coming of Jesus Christ. But you can wrap it all in one word. His righteousness. I'm an heir of that. But you say, Brother House, what must, that's what the fellow said. Get the fallacy of this question. What must I do that I may inherit? What must I do? You don't do anything to inherit. You just take it. Mrs. Hiles, when her father passed away, she and her brother divided what little inheritance her father left. In his last days, he became senile, probably Alzheimer's. He bought a bunch of stock that was useless and pretty well spent all of his money. But Mrs. Hiles inherited that few thousand dollars, and I took it from her and put it in my account in the bank. She didn't do anything. C.M. Slaughter Sr. for 35 years got up before daybreak. For 35 years, he got into a car and trudged himself to work right in the shadows of the Baylor Hospital in Dallas, Texas. For 35 years, he worked in that feed store day and night, all day and many nights, 6 days a week. No vacation, no time off, occasionally on a holiday, and that's about it. He worked. And she and her brother shared the inheritance. Didn't do a thing to get it. 2,000 years ago, God became flesh, walked the shores of Galilee, opened blind eyes and deaf ears, caused the dumb to speak and the dead to rise and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. Blessed the little children, stilled the storm and calmed the stormy seas. He proved that he was the Son of God. Lived a perfect life. His eyes never saw what was wrong to see. His tongue never spoke what was wrong to speak. His ears never heard what was wrong to hear. His mind never thought what was wrong to think. His heart never intended to do anything that was wrong to intend. His feet never walked a path wrong to walk. Even his enemies said, "I find no fault in this man. Don't you tell me he's just the son of a blonde German soldier. He's the very God of gods, God incarnate." He lived a perfect, so he did not owe a debt. But he went to Calvary, and he said, "Jack, I've got your sins written all above you here. Little bitty list about that tall. Moffitt, I've got your sins. I don't care how many you got, brother. He paid for them. And when you die, your heirs get the inheritance. He died. And he paid for your sins and mine on the cross. And when he died, I, as his heir, inherited what?
Heaven?
Yeah. Holy Spirit? Yeah. Eternal life? Yeah. A new body someday? Yeah. But it's all wrapped up in one word. It's my inheritance. This morning, it's yours also. That means that's what kept me. What kept me from the presence of God in the Holy of Holies was unrighteousness. But now I don't have it. He took care of it for me. Offers me his righteousness. The choice is yours. Listen carefully. The choice is yours. You have a choice this morning. It's not what church do you join. It's not what sacrament do you take. Anybody that tells you can have one sin absolved by sacrament is a fake. Well, what ordinance do you take? That's not it. You've got one choice of two. Hear me carefully. Don't believe me. Your righteousness or his? Yours or his? For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now, there's the Holy of Holies over there. Nobody can walk in unless they're righteous. You walk over to the Holy of Holies, and the Holy of Holies is in heaven today. You walk up to the door of the Holy of Holies, and you seek entrance. What are your credentials? I belong to First Baptist Church. I'm sorry. You can't enter. Only righteousness can enter here. I was pretty righteous. I gave the Red Cross one time. I even gave $1.98 to the United Fund. And I put a quarter in that little box, and some folks were waiting there at a stoplight one time to help disabled people. I'm sorry, but you've got to be perfectly righteous. Or you can come like this. I'd like to enter the Holy of Holies in the presence of God. What credentials do you have? I don't have any. I'm just a sinner. I tried to do good, but it didn't work. Huh. Well, come to think of it, when I was almost 11 years old, I trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I got a book there that says he imputed to me his righteousness. And though I'm not perfect, he is. And he bore my imperfection and offers me his perfection. Can that get me in? Enter it thou in the joy of the Lord. It's up to you. You go right ahead and join your church and take your communion and go across the street and confess your sin to fellows who have enough sin of his own. You go ahead. But you're going to die and go to hell if you don't have a righteousness, and yours won't do. Only his will do. And his is inherited. And that's what the writer of Hebrews meant when he said, inheritance of his righteousness. We're heirs of his righteousness. If you take yours, if you decide to take your own righteousness and try to get in, I suggest that you go ahead and try everything. Go to confession. Try it. Try Mass. Try the Eucharist. Try the communion. Try the sacraments. Try the priest. Try the pope. Try the bishop. Try Virgin Mary. Try good works. But if you choose his righteousness, which is the righteousness of faith, which right this moment, hear me carefully, right this moment, you yourself can say, mine won't do. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. But I know that Jesus Christ bore my imperfections for me. He bore my unrighteousness for me. Listen carefully. Don't miss this. If you put your faith and trust in him and what he did and what he is, that moment, just as he transferred your unrighteousness to him on Calvary, he will transfer his righteousness to you. Brother Joe, Edith is in heaven this morning. She knows what he looks like. She knows what the tree of life looks like and the streets of gold. She knows what the angels are like. She's seeing her mama, whom I knew so well, and your mama. Edith Ward was a good woman, but her righteousness wouldn't get her there. One day Edith did what I did. She said, Jesus, my righteousness won't do it. Jesus said, I'll make you an heir of mine. What must I do? That's what the rich young ruler said. You don't do anything. You simply say, yes, I'll take Jesus as my Savior. You can walk out those doors this morning. Are you listening to me? You can walk out those doors this morning, an heir of the righteousness which is in Christ Jesus. And hear me now, as the high priest stands, sits even today, inside the Holy of Holies in heaven, there's his blood there, the very blood that was shed on Calvary, there's his blood there. Come on in! Come on in! Come on in! For almost 2,000 years, for over 2,000 years, 1,500, or 1,500 years, I guess it was, only the high priest could come in, and he could come in once a year. But I've come in. I sprinkle the eternal blood on the mercy seat. Come on in. Come on in. You are heirs of my righteousness. Glory to God. That means every little bus kid can inherit his righteousness today. And when you inherit his righteousness, you inherit everything that that represents. Heaven, golden streets, gates of pearl, a new body, a new life, eternal life, fellowship with the saints of God and with the Savior who made it all possible. Come. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. And he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Heirs of heaven, heirs of the Holy Spirit, I'm an heir of eternal life, I'm an heir of the hope of the rapture, I'm an heir of his righteousness. Take it this morning. It's as much yours as it is mine. In just a moment we're going to stand, the choir's going to sing. I'll ask that nobody be so rude as to leave the service during the invitation time. I'm going to ask every one of you that's trying to get to heaven because of what you've done or what somebody else has done apart from Jesus to walk down this aisle and say this morning, I accept the inheritance. I accept it. That's all Mrs. House did. She accepted the inheritance earned by the toil and labor and sweat of a good father.